Praise the Lord. Now let's pick our text. Then we sit down. Acts chapter 1. Amen. And I'll read it from verse 1, so that we get the complete picture of where I am going. The former treatise, that's according to Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Have I met, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time, that is when he was with them just before he ascended, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Because they were still under Roman Empire. And so they were seeing the Messiah is supposed to come and deliver them. And he will surely come to deliver them. And he said unto them, that is my emphasis. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. I repeat. And he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And verse 8, this is all the one that concern you, my disciples, you're selling them, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. May the Lord grant us illumination of his word today in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Be seated and be very reverent and try to listen. Amen. It's a Bible study, and this is continuation of our attempt to get the people prepared for the soon coming revival. John will prophesy again. Amen. And we have looked at it from various angles. And let's look at it again from another angle that will give us a better picture. Remember what Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. Romans, can we read it? Chapter 1 and verse 16 and verse 17. Romans. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17. This is my emphasis. For therein the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Can we read again? Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4. Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4. In fact, let's read from verse 1 to verse 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I love that definition. The prosperity preachers, before I come to verse 2, they have used this to claim earthly things, to claim financial breakthrough, business breakthrough, to claim things that will make them prosper. It's okay, it is in that verse too. It's in that verse. But let's go deeper. Let's read that verse again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You are hoping for something, but there is something that gives your hope substance. Let's read it again. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for. The faith is the evidence of things not seen. You have not seen it, but you have faith because you have hope. Verse 2. For by it, by that faith, the elders obtained a good report. Did they use faith to become millionaires and billionaires? You are not understanding me. So that you will now see that that verse goes beyond faith to have a car, to build a house. I read it again. For by that faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. He said again, through faith, we understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord. Listen again to verse 3. Listen again to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God. Listen. Hallelujah. Listen. It says the gospel, amen. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. The preaching of the gospel, it is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. For the just shall live by faith. Now, see verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11 again. Verse 4. By faith. Please meditate very well on verse 4. Underline it in your Bible and go on over. And go and study it and meditate on it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith. So you know, faith in application here is not talking about say it and it comes to pass. By faith, let's read it again. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Listen, church. Two people come before God to offer sacrifice to worship God. One, his own, was accepted. The other one, his own, was not accepted. Why? Because one did not offer it by faith. The other one offered it by faith. Therefore, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Faith, therefore, is revelation. Faith is revelation. The just, and we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you are justified, hallelujah. The songwriter says, he says, I care not today, for the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. He said, the Lord, I know. Do it, that's what?
The Lord, I know who reigns
over everything. He reigns over everything. And all of my worry is vain. Hallelujah, I am living by faith.
Jesus.
In Jesus I hope.
Oh,
I'm trusting, confiding. Hallelujah. That makes you not to be afraid of anything comes by revelation. It's because there is a revelation you have. And so when we come to church like this, the duty of every preacher is to let the people have faith, have revelation. The reason is because salvation is a mystery. Salvation is a mystery. I keep emphasizing this so that you open your ears when you come to a church like this. I watched a prophet in a television saying, after he discerned, he said, they were clapping hands and shouting because he was discerning. And then he said, yes. He said, I am born to prophesy. And he's correct. Me too. I am born to preach. I am born to preach. When God spoke to me about this ministry, that I didn't understand in 1973, I will never forget that He revealed Himself as my Father and my God. And He gave me a book. I reminded Him last night. And I held the Bible. I said, this is the book you gave me to follow you with it and judge the people. It's now I understand that revelation. He gave me a book. And said, I should follow Him. And I was going from place to place. And we were judging the people. And I believe that book is this Bible. Hallelujah. And when we use this Bible and judge every error, judge every nyama nyama that is going on in the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying this so that you will listen to me when I'm speaking. Because what I'm saying is going to stand for judgment against somebody or for somebody one of these days. Listen, it's a revelation. Now here he is in verse 7. They were asking me in verse 6 whether the time has come for him to restore again the kingdom to Israel. And he answered in verse 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. Please take note of that verse 7. Who was he talking to? He was talking to His disciple. Listen very well. He was talking to His disciple. He said, it is not for you, the 12 of you that you are listening to me now, it is not for you to know the times and the season. Your own is wait. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. That is your own. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that is the one. But what concerning the times and the season, it is not for you, because they did not need to know it. But a group of people are going to come at their own time, they will know it. Hallelujah. They will know it. Have you taken note in the Bible that the parables, everything that pertains to salvation, have you taken note of this, Bible students? Traduc. Listen, it says, do you notice that everything that pertains to salvation in the New Testament, in the teachings of Jesus Christ, they were all spoken in parables? Have you noted that none of the disciples after the day of Pentecost, none of them came to explain any parable of Jesus Christ? None of them referred to any parable that Jesus Christ spoke. None. Because the parables were not meant for them. These parables were going to fulfill at a time. And when the time for the fulfillment of those parables will come, He, the great teacher, is the same Jesus that is teaching us by the same Spirit of God again, by the same Holy Ghost. This is the time. Praise the Lord. He said something in Matthew 16. Let's read it. Verse 1, 2, 3. Matthew 16. The Pharisees, from verse 1, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. This is what Jesus said. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. Why? For the sky is red and lowering. Then he said, oh ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? You can design all the weather, say today it will rain because of what you are seeing in the sky, and it will be so. But the sign of the times, he said, you cannot discern it. Of course, hallelujah, they cannot discern it, because concerning salvation, Daniel chapter 12, let's read it. Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter in the book of Daniel, concerning the agenda of God, concerning the future, what God was going to do in rounding up things on earth here and before Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 8. From verse 8, it says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So even Daniel, don't worry, don't bother to know how these things will happen. The revelation is closed until the end. And church, this is the end. Verse 10. He said, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Listen. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But the wise shall understand. None of the wicked shall understand. And when we say wicked, you are looking at ritual killers, armed robbers, and kidnappers, Abi. The worst wicked are those who are serving the Lord in unrighteousness, holding the truth in unrighteousness. The worst wicked are those who are misleading the people, who are supposed to, for them to point the people to God. They take them away from the pathway of truth and lead them to perdition. The wicked shall continue to do their wickedness, but the angel told Daniel that the wise shall understand. And I told you some time ago that two groups of people, the whole of Israel, they were in captivity, but there was a Daniel in their midst, even in Babylon. Everybody, hallelujah, see the condition of the church, the way it is, but within the church, even in the fallen estate that we are in today, for Satan and the world has captured the church. The spirit of error has captured the church. False prophets have captured the church. Babalawo, disguising as ministers of light, have captured the church. Motivational speakers have captured the church. And commercial preachers have captured the church. We are in captivity. But in captivity, there is a Daniel. There is a Daniel. I said, Daniel. I said, Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, he said something. He said that he understood by books. He understood by books the period that is given for them to remain in captivity, because what took them to captivity in the Babylonian captivity in Israel, Jeremiah prophesied it. He studied and saw the time that Jeremiah prophesied. In Jeremiah's prophecy, as we see in Daniel chapter 9, they were to last for 70 years. I am saying something to give you reason to listen to our teachings in this ministry. They gave him, he said they will be in captivity for 70 years. And after 70 years, they will return to their land. That means they know that forever they will be in that condition. And by the time that he got to know, how did he know? It is by studying. And at that time, he discovered, by the time he found out, he discovered they had spent 68 years. Remaining 2 years for that time to be complete. And before what? Hallelujah. Listen. So, there were others that were buying land in Babylon. There are other Jews that were marrying and getting married and investing in stocks and whatever it is, and building and establishing new businesses. But Daniel knew something. And therefore, instead of Daniel to also join the other Israelites in captivity and behaving the way they were behaving, he had a revelation that made him to stand out and act differently. He became more prayerful because he knew this prophecy will fulfill remaining 2 years for our captivity to be over by studying. Church, we are speaking like Daniel confidently, because whatever the church is going through there is in the Bible. And the church, the gospel went to Israel and they rejected Christ, and God therefore blinded them and hung dealing with them and came to look for a bride among the Gentiles. People are living as if this grace age is forever. It's not forever. It is for a season. Blindness in parts, hallelujah, has come upon Israel, Romans chapter 11 verse 25, until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And there is a group of people that suddenly have woken up and they are saying, when is Christ coming? Everybody knows Christ is coming. Maybe everybody in Israel knew that one day we will go back. But when? Nobody bothers to know. But there is a Daniel that studied. There is a group of people that have studied and are still studying. And we have found out that he is supposed to come among the Gentiles for how long? For 2 days. 2,000 years. According to God's divine agenda, the gospel will build with the Gentiles for 2,000 years. And the end of God dealing with the Gentiles will come, ending up with the rapture. And we are sitting down here, we are expecting the rapture. And according to the divine agenda, we can say, how many more years left for the 2,000 years to be complete like Daniel? And when you get to know that revelation and see how few the number of years left, what type of life will you live? See Daniel referred to as a wise man. Let's look at it. Daniel chapter 5. Let's read something. There is a way that the Bible put it. Now in Daniel chapter 5, we know what the story is. Belshazzar, the king, saw a handwriting on the wall that troubled him. From verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The man was shivering because of what he saw. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet. Take note. Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Hey, is anybody following me? No, if you follow me, there will be a better reaction than what I... No, you have not followed me. No, you have not got it. Listen, something is going on that the king does not understand. But see, anybody that will read and grant us understanding of what that writing on the wall is, that person will be crowned. Not just that, will be the third ruler in the kingdom. For what? Just for having understanding of the handwriting on the wall. That's why I say you didn't understand me. When this scripture was speaking to me last night, I jumped up from my bed. I was lying down reading my Bible. I jumped up. I said, there's something here. Now, see something. Verse 8. Then came in all the king's wise men, all of them. They had Holy Ghost Congress. They had seminar. They had gathering of giants. They had waiting again. They have gathering of champions. They have experience. They gathered for revival. Verse 8. They came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom. Hey! There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers. For as much as, listen, verse 12, an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences, deep revelations and dissolving of doubts, we are found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Have you realized that no denomination, I have not seen it, the only one that has attempted is E.G. White of the Seventh-day Adventists. I say attempted. None has gone to the book of Revelation to attempt to give interpretation to those dark sentences. Watch it. All the big men of God, they are celebrating today. None has stood to preach the divine agenda for salvation. All of them, concerning the coming, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Go and meet the archbishop, whether he can explain that. Hallelujah. A beast came out of the water. Another beast came out having 10 horns, and there was a little horn. Go and ask them whether they know that horn. Whether they know that beast. But the wise shall understand. I said the wise shall understand. Hallelujah. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And take note that Daniel was brought in to interpret something that was written in the wall. Daniel was not there when it was written. Glory be to God. Daniel was not there when it was written. I should prophesy. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Let me prophesy. Let me preach. I am born to preach. Listen, church. Daniel was not there when the handwriting was written. Hallelujah. But there is something about that handwriting that has to do with the end of the kingdom. The end of the kingdom was coming and they didn't know. But there is this sign, fear everywhere is coming, that this one will soon end. But nobody could understand what is happening. Only Daniel could tell them about the true revelation of the end. A type of the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. Okay, verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and the light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. One of these days, the denominational juggernauts will gather and invite Pastor Moses. You don't believe? Wait and see. Wait and see. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And now, the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. They can't even understand simple baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is it the Antichrist they will understand? Verse 16. And I have heard of thee that thou can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, see what he said. If thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Can you see? The only people that will be crowned, that will come back here and rule this earth with King Jesus, will be the bride. Whom he has caused to understand the handwriting that is on the wall before us now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It looks as if they have defeated. They have not defeated anything. They are only working according to God's plan. Ogre serpent, you deceived Eve, you deceived Adam, and separated my children from me. But you think you have separated me from me, you are only working my agenda. At the appointed time, I will redeem my people back to me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The gates of hell can never defeat the purpose of God. And so, let me show you a mystery also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in this little exhortation that I titled, The Planting and the Harvest. Planting and the Harvest. It is actually the planting and harvest of the church. It is time. There is a planting time and there is a harvest time of the church. There is a planting time and there is a harvest. Now we are talking wisdom. Now Daniel wants to speak. Because a lot of things are happening in the church and people don't understand, including believers and Christians. But this knowledge will remove all confusion, remove all doubt, and give us a barrier, and give us reason to continue and maintain that ancient landmark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is why I told you, I said, everything that pertains to salvation, He, Christ, spoke it by parable. He will not explain it until the appointed time. And now is the appointed time because this is the end. We are getting to the end of the program. Listen. And He bring it forth in this parable in Mark chapter 4. So that is the scripture we'll be looking at to give us a proper picture of what is happening in the church now. And where we are now. And how that expected revival will come. At what point it will come. So that you really see that, yes, this is the time to expect that revival that was spoken of by William Branham, that is spoken of in the scriptures, that man, is it John Spencer or somebody like that, from the U.S., that also saw it, he called it the coat of arm of William Branham. It is not just the coat of arm of William Branham, it is actually the apostolic coat of arms. Praise the Lord. Now let me read it from verse 26, Mark chapter 4. And he said, please listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. This is a revelation we have that we will never belong to any denominational setup. This is a revelation we have that made us run away from any denomination. And this is a revelation we have. That is why we are not a denomination. And this is a revelation I have. That if there is no true church to attend, I will stay in my house. Rather than go and mess up my faith in some of these places called churches. This is it. This is how Jesus Christ spoke it. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. See? So is the kingdom of God. He's talking about the church. He's referring to the period of salvation. He said, this is how it will look like. He said, it's as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. But something he observes, verse 28, this is how it happens. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. Then, the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. So there is the planting and there is the harvest. Hallelujah. Take note. Before you plant, let's look at the farm. Now he's using it to describe salvation, to describe the process of redemption, the process of salvation. Is talking about when the church will start and when the church will end. That's what he was talking about. So he uses a farmer that plants maybe corn. Number one, the process. You will first go to the farm and till and clear the ground and till it and prepare the ground by the owner of the farm. And so to save time, let me just be bringing in the types like that. And this farm called the kingdom of God, Christ is the husbandman. He is the owner. He is the ruler. The kingdom belongs to him because it is the kingdom of his father and all authority has been given to him. And for 33 and a half years of Christ's earthly ministry, what was he doing? He was tilling the ground. He was clearing the ground. And after you have cleared the ground, what happens? You now take the seed. The seed, you prepare the seed depending on what seed you are using. Some seeds are normally put inside water for some time. You prepare them depending on what the seed is. There must be a preparation time where you really sort out the clean ones, the good ones, the ones that truly have life. Hallelujah. And preparing them for sowing, the seed that Christ, after tilling the ground, the seed he had to plant, there were 120 seeds. In the upper room, 120 believers, his disciples. But after planting, the law of nature takes place. There must be rain. If there is no rain, that seed will die. Hallelujah. And so he told them, they should go and wait in the upper room, the preparation and everything. Hallelujah. The prepared seeds were kept there, and the first rain fell on the day of Pentecost. Glory be to God. The first rain fell on the seed that we have planted on the day of Pentecost. Oh, glory be to God. Listen, the church of Jesus Christ was planted first on the day of Pentecost. The rain fell and the church began. Revival started. Things started. Now, take note. People are wondering, what is happening now? What we see today, is this what happened on the day of Pentecost? Is that what we see in the first church age? The church you see now, do you see any resemblance with, the Christian world that they say they are the church? Listen, do you see any resemblance? Do you see any likeness? And you are wondering, what is happening? He gave us a picture. Hallelujah. In John chapter 12, let's read it. Verse 23 and verse 24, Jesus Christ made a statement there. John chapter 12. Verse 23 and verse 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, are we there? Hallelujah. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know what? You know, I told you, stop reading Bible, study Bible. Do you know what? Jesus Christ was actually saying here, he was talking about his death. He was now approaching his death. But he referred to it the hour for him to be glorified. So I was looking at it. This man is going to die a horrible death. He said the hour has come for the Son of Man to suffer. He said the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That simply means, when you are undergoing trial and difficulties, it is a glorification process. Let somebody catch that. That's why he said, give thanks. In every situation you find yourself, give thanks. For all things work together for good. Hallelujah. So it means, okay, let me finish reading that. Verse 23 again and 24. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then he now said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. But if it died, it bringeth forth much fruit. So, here is him. He is actually giving us a principle for sowing and harvesting and reaping. So, if the children of God, for God to have more of his children, he has only one child, Jesus, one son. If he's going to have more sons, that one will have to die first. And that's why Christ had to die, so that it can produce you and I, more children of God. But it is demonstrated by the farmer even clearer again, so that you will understand. That seed that you plant, when it is planted on the ground, everyone, every farmer, everyone here, we don't go farm before, we don't live for village, you know, even including yam, you know that if you plant yam on the under the soil there, you know that after some days, if you go and open it, you know you see it rotting. You know you see it rotting. Hallelujah. It is a law. The old body of that seed that you plant, the old body will decay by a process there on the ground. Because it will mix, because you have planted it in the midst of the earth. Under the influence of the earth there, that body will decay and fade with the world. It will fade with the sand, with the soil. It will fade. But inside of it, there is a germ of life there. Oh, glory be to God. There is a germ of life in it. The body dies, but there is a germ of life. And that is why he said, you sleep, you wake up, after you planted your corn, you go and sleep. The next day, whatever is happening there, you are not seeing it. You don't know what is happening. But suddenly, you discover, let me go to the farm. You will go to the farm. And the next thing you will see from the ground, what do you see? You see a blade that shoots out. Oh, glory be to God. And the farmer will say, my corn is growing. Hallelujah. But he does not come for harvest yet. Because it's exactly what he planted that he expects to see at harvest time. Harvest can never take place until what you planted goes through a process and it is produced again. So that you will understand why the rapture has not yet taken place. Hallelujah. The church that was planted on the day of Pentecost suddenly mixed with the world and finally died in AD 325, when Catholicism sprang up by bringing Christianity and joining with idolatry. When Christianity joined with the worldly systems, finally, that fire that was released on the day of Pentecost, that word that was preached everywhere with signs and wonders following, one day, 3,000 believe, another day, 5,000 believe, suddenly,
Even a church that liars could not come and give lying testimony. Fornicators cannot come and sit down in the church. They will be excommunicated. But suddenly, all that life died. He died. Evidence of death is what we are seeing today. Died. No life anymore in the church. And it happened like that for almost 1,000 years. Known in church history as the Dark Ages. But that seed must spring up again. Hallelujah. Because in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus Christ also let us understand this. When did this death take place? He says, the kingdom of heaven is, so it's like a woman that takes three measures. It's likened unto a level, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. The three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until this whole meal of salvation is leavened, corrupted, and totally dead. That is when he died. And Satan, we think he has defeated. Satan, we think he has defeated. But Christ is saying, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground. See, I preach a gospel according to nature. Even nature is teaching us gospel. Everything you see is God using it to preach the gospel. The rising of the sun from the east to the west. Hallelujah. Is preaching the gospel. Everything we talk about, even science, the gospel according to science, the advancement of the means of transportation from horse and cart. Now they are going and putting people on the moon with the astronauts. Everything there has to do with salvation. Even the hybridization of animals, even crops. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing speaking about the gospel. When you take a horse together with a donkey and they met, they will produce a child, isn't it? They will produce an offspring. The offspring is called a mule. You can neither call it a donkey nor a horse. You have to give it another name, a mule. But look at it. It looks exactly like a horse. But there is only one characteristic it has. It's a workaholic. It can walk. They are the church workers. They can walk. They can walk. But it cannot produce itself. There is no life in it. Why? Because you crossbreed. Hallelujah. You brought the world and joined it with idolatry. You join that with Christianity, it produces death. That type of Christianity, nobody can get born again there because there is no life in it. It's a hybrid religion. Hybrid religion. Hallelujah. And so even when the church died, Satan thought he has finished. But the wise will understand. We understand because Christ himself kept the signpost for us to know what is happening. It must die. God allow it to die. At Nicene, AD 325, everybody knows that history. Then suddenly, the farmer, after some time, it was time, the life that is inside that seed must grow. The germ of life that is inside that seed, it doesn't die. Hallelujah. It doesn't die. It is there. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the life. Hallelujah. The life, the body can decay. The church as the body of Christ, maybe it can decay and mix with the world, but there is still a life there. There's a life there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And suddenly, a blade sprang up. That is the first process of that seed that died after some days, began to spring up. Hallelujah. That first blade, that green something that shoots out in the farm after that rain, hallelujah, after everything dead and everything, that was the process of the restoration of the three works of grace that were destroyed. Justification was restored. Martin Luther, God used him for that revival to protest the dark ages, to protest the grip of the Roman Catholicism, Roman Catholic religion, the religion of Rome. He protested it and is the first leader of the Protestant movement, but it was nothing but the germ of life coming up again. He said, then the next thing you see is the ear, another stage. That was when Luther also sprang, Wesley. Wesley took over from Luther to bring establish the second work of grace that was corrupted by Leaven, the false doctrines of the Catholic system. That was the second. And then the third stage was the restoration of the gifts. The power of God again in the church. There was no divine healing. There was no manifestation of the Spirit throughout for almost 1,000 years in the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Almost 1,000 years. But the development again started. The restoration process started. Then the full corn there comes by fertilization through the pollination process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the corn, it gets to another stage where the corn begins to be formed. And it is at that stage, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read it again. Mark chapter 4. You see that statement there? It says, verse 29. Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, that same seed that was planted, when you see it brought forth, it said immediately. Somebody shout immediately. You don't waste time again. You don't waste time before, because you cannot allow that seed again to be corrupted. Quickly, quickly, quickly. He put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. So when is the harvest? When is the planting time? And when is the harvest? We have seen the planting time. The harvest is the rapture. When is the rapture? The rapture will take place only when you begin to see a group of believers in the body of Christ. That you see the setting, the pattern, in doctrine, in love, in faith, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, you are seeing the same thing you see in the Bible, the foundation of our faith, begin to form again. Then you know the rapture will soon strike. And that is the restoration ministry. That is the restoration ministry. People are just carrying Bible and going to church. Where did they go? I am deeper life. I am redeemed. I am chosen. I am this. I am bride. I am this. I am Catholic. I am Anglican. And they said even with pride. And they know nothing about the divine agenda of God. The day you know that, you will de-emphasize which church you belong. And emphasize more on your relationship with God than where you belong. See? And it is all God's own agenda. Luther did not go praying, oh Lord, use me to break out of Catholicism. No. No. So when it is time, God knows which vessel to use. God knows which vessel to use. So all this one, when you go mountain, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Did Isaiah tell God, use me before God called him? Did Peter go to Jesus? Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to be your disciple. There is one that said, Master, Master, I will follow you. I will follow you. Why did Jesus say, oh, this one want to follow me, so come. He even told him something that will make him go away. Why didn't he tell Peter that, Peter, he said, follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. You'll be fisherman, Abby. Follow me. Follow me. He didn't explain anything to Peter. But this one come to him. If they follow and follow, he turned. He said, foxes have hole. The birds have nest. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Oh, you go follow this guy, man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So all these people that are anxious is because Christianity has been misplaced. But our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. As we beat on has opened our eyes. In this age, God's attributes we have manifested
to his bride in this last day.
We have come the revelation
by the last prophet lifted.
And we know
who we are. What you raise up for, holy hands of God.
Jesus, the Christ, is our God.
Lord, we stand.